Our gospel reading is from the 20th chapter of John, and it is evening on the first day of the week. Jesus has risen and is now to appear to his disciples, beginning at the 19th verse. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A couple things before we get into our sermon titled "Your Begrudget Budget." I thought that was catchy. Thomas the doubter. Now, if you have a fourth or a fifth grader back there, Joan is speaking with them today. They're talking about doubt today. And it's probably going to be a very fruitful discussion for you after church to talk to your kids about doubt. Thomas the doubter. And who was Thomas doubting? Who was Thomas doubting? Well, in part doubting whether Jesus was resurrected or not, sure. But look at who he was doubting directly. He was doubting his brothers and sisters. He was doubting those who were giving him testimony about what Jesus had done. He was essentially saying, "You're a bunch of yahoos. I don't believe it unless it comes from Jesus' mouth himself." And that is the crime of the doubting Thomas. Because if you look at the proof Jesus gives him, it's the proof Jesus gave the rest of the disciples when he wasn't there. He showed them his hands and his side, verse 20. So they had all had the benefit of seeing Jesus' wounds. Thomas hadn't had the benefit, and he was insisting on seeing the same thing. He was saying, "I don't trust you, I don't believe you," to all his brothers, who he had been through hell and high water with. It's not a good position to be in. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus, of course, is talking to Thomas there, but he's also talking to all of us. And we have not put our fingers in the wounds in the hand, and we have not put our hands in the side face to face. But we've come to believe through the witness and testimony of others and seeing Christ work in our own lives. We're not doubting Thomas's per se. But even then, we have our doubts. Jesus doesn't condemn him for his doubts, but says, "It's best if you believe. Best if you believe." So Thomas doubts his fellow disciples. But look back before. Look back to the 22nd and 23rd verse. Now, Jesus has just conquered death. Jesus has just gone from the last time he saw all of them together when he was having the Last Supper. He's been crucified after torture. Died and buried, resurrected, and these are the first words to his disciples, the first instructions to his disciples when he has them all together. receive the Holy Spirit, and then immediately, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This is the first instruction Jesus chooses to give. He begins the resurrection ministry with talk of forgiveness. Now, why would that be? Why would he start there? Well, let's think of the experience of these disciples over the last week. They've been hunted like dogs by some of their own people, no less. I mean, Rome has come down hard on them. The Jewish authorities have come down hard on them. They're in a tough spot. They're hiding behind closed doors, afraid for their lives. Their livelihoods. They sacrificed their livelihoods to follow Jesus. Well, they got plenty of reason to hold a grudge. Plenty of reason to hold a grudge. And perhaps they do. But Jesus comes in right away and tells them essentially, you're mine. And you have power. You have the power to forgive, or you have the power to damn. Use it wisely. I don't know about you, but that's more than I bargained for. I like to be able to live my little hate world sometimes. I like to be able to live in a place where someone's just a jerk. You know, there's no complexity to it. It's all black and white. You're either with me or you're a jerk. That's a convenient place to live your life. To not have to think any deeper than that, than they done me wrong in writing them off. But Jesus always, always asks us to live deeper. Always asks us to live deeper. To the point where he'll go to a bunch of guys hiding out, afraid that their next breath might be their last, and tells them, you're the one with the power. You're the ones with the power to forgive or to leave it standing. Mm-mm. It's very easy to go through life wallowing in your supposed powerlessness. It's very easy to go through life letting anger be your power. Letting hate be your power. But the very first words out of Christ's mouth when he sees his disciples is, let your love be your power. It's a crisis time. The future of Christ's ministry hangs by 12 threads, or a few more. These people, this riffraff from all different walks of life, who have come together, who are going to be his hands, his feet, and his words to the world. And it's vital that they get this first of all. It's very easy to withdraw into a shell of selfishness and wounds and stinginess. It's very easy to hold a grudge. Very easy to hold a grudge. And I know each of us sometimes have a reason to hold a grudge, don't we? I mean, some of us have been wronged in deplorable ways, in terribly hurtful ways we've been wronged. But when we hold a grudge, we let that heaviness take our hearts. We lose all creativity. We lose all imagination. We lose so much ability to serve our God. And so Christ asks us to forgive. Now, what does forgive mean? It doesn't mean being a doormat. It doesn't mean making yourself vulnerable to someone who could hurt you even more, necessarily. But it might. When we forgive, there are a few good measures. One good way to forgive someone who you can't forgive is to pray for them. And I don't mean pray that they'll come around to your way of thinking. No, that's too easy. It's real easy to pray, good Lord, will you change that idiot's heart? Good Lord, I don't know what that fool's doing, but will you turn him around? No. Leave it in God's hands. Good Lord, please bless them. Good Lord, please work your will in their life. And leave it at that. Let go of the rest and leave it at that, if you can. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you hold them, they are not loosed. Now, last time I preached from a similar text, I asked you to visualize the gates of heaven. And when you die, you get there. And when you get there, everyone you haven't forgiven is there too. And you have to make amends with them before either of you can get into heaven. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's particularly biblical. But it works for me. Because it tells you the power that you have. The power of forgiveness is not a power to lose something. It's not a power to let go of some great grievance and have a loss in your life. It's a power to release a weight from your heart. It's a power to gain a better perspective. It's a power to walk even closer with the Lord. Forgiveness is not the realm of weak people. Oh, no. Forgiveness is the realm of the very strongest. Think of Jesus. Forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do, as he is nailed to that cross. You tell me that's a weak person? No. That's the very strongest. Forgiveness is what Peter will preach in just a few chapters of Acts. Ignorant Peter, who can't write, he'll hold up to a whole community, thousands of people. This is what you did to the Son of God. And then he'll say, and this is how you make it right. When we forgive, we tell someone, this is what you did and how I felt. And this is how you can make it right. My friends, we are asked to be like Jesus on earth. He even told us we could do even more miracles than he did if we would just believe and follow. The faith of a mustard seed is all it takes. A little thing like one grudge that you hold in your heart right now, that small a thing can be the pebble in your shoe, or it can be the foundation stone of your continuing faith. That little gesture of forgiving one person one thing. And you may find after you forgive one thing, you forgive another another. And before you know it, you will be traveling much lighter without all the bitterness. And once you've learned how to forgive others, well, maybe you can even learn how to forgive yourself. Maybe that'll be a happy side effect. But at any rate, your begrudget budget. How many debts can you afford to carry on your ledgers? How many bowling balls can you walk around carrying? How many stones can you afford to have around your neck? And who is really hurt by your inability to forgive? Who suffers? Who is failing to reach their full potential? Who is walking around the light of the gospel with the heaviness and the darkness of anger and hate? It's a simple matter. Forgive the sins of others, and you will be forgiven. Set them free. Let them go. And just watch what God does next in your life. Amen.